Welcome to Celebration Community Church's Sunday Sermon Series. Celebration is located in San Jose, California. We would love to have you join us on Sunday morning. Find out more at www.celebratejesus.net or call our office at 408-225-1000. Now, enjoy the message.
When I need a place of solace, I need a place to be able to go, I go to Scripture to find the strength that I need. John 14, 1-4, John 14, 27, Revelation 21, 4, Isaiah 41, 10, says this: the death of one that belongs to the Lord is precious in His sight. And it says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, Jesus says. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or many rooms. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And I will go and prepare that place for you. And I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Peace, Jesus says, I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And then it says, He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things will pass away, has passed away. So do not fear. I am with you. Do not be dismayed. For I am your God. I will strengthen and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Father, thank you that the word of God is food. It's nourishment. It brings us strength. It brings us comfort. And it brings us the revelation that when you begin something, you complete it perfectly. Thank you, Father, for the gift that you gave to us in Anne. Thank you for the gift that you gave to her to heaven. And Lord, we just acknowledge this. And now I pray for us to come with understanding about what's different in the definition of death to us than the world's definition. Thank you, Father. Give us ears to hear what you would have us to hear today. And we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. You can be seated. He will wipe. He will wipe all the tears from our eyes. That's the wonderful thing that we have at understanding. And we'll be talking more about it next time. This 2016, as we start, was going to be a year of grace and mercy. And with this process here, John 16:33 and Romans 8:28 says, I've told you all this so that in me you may have peace. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I've overcome the world. And then in Romans it says, and you know that God makes all things work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose for them. What an awesome understanding that in the midst of the challenges and difficulties and losses in life, God takes it and turns it to the good. This morning, as we're continuing to share, how do you know that life happens, right? The world looks at it a different way, uses different words, but life does happen. And we recognize that it's part of the process. One of the understandings is life, Matthew 6:33, in this life you will have challenges. First Peter says, dear friends, don't be surprised when the challenges you go through as if something strange were happening to you. Matthew 6:4 says, therefore do not be worried about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough challenges of its own. How many people say yes? Today, we want to break from our series that we've been looking at, and I want to talk about when heaven invades life. When heaven invades life. We hear he had a good life, or she had a good life. Life was tough, or she had a rough life, that particular person. Life is staring you in the face. Get a life. Overwhelmed by life. The season in life or of life. Ups and downs of life. Life is good. The challenges of life. And he had a full life. All this wrapped around this word life. Life is basically the interval of time between one's birth and one's death. The course of actions and events of an individual that occur in living. That's what life is. The unfolding favorable and unfavorable experiences that make up the existence of a person. I want to look at this word life. Ecclesiastes, and this is not, I don't know if it was Peter, Paul, and Mary. Peter, Paul, and Mary did not write this song. Okay? There is a time that Solomon is saying, there's a time for everything. A season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. And a time to love and a time not to love. And a time for war and a time for peace. These are the unfolding events of life. And as Solomon describes it, there are times and seasons change. Life changes. Life is to be filled with heaven. The message, as I said, is when heaven invades life. But life is to be filled with heaven. Matthew 6:34 says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow or the challenges. Luke 12, talking about life, verse 25, who of you by morning can add a single hour to his life? James 1, blessed is the man who preserves under trial, because when he stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. John 7, remember, O God, that my life is but a breath. Psalm 71, verse 20, though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up. Psalm 89, verse 7, remember how fleeting is my life. Matthew 10, 39, whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 18, says, be joyful. No matter what, pray continually, give thanks for all circumstances of life, for this is the way God wants those in Jesus Christ to deal with life. How many know it's hard sometimes to be joyful? How many of you know that when I'm talking about joyful, it's not ha-ha, happy. Joyful represents a basic foundational emotional and spiritual stance. And that's the why so many Christians are wiped out all the time. Because there is a way. The enemy wants to take away my joy, right? He's come, that person just robbed my joy. The reason why is that joy, the joy of the Lord is our strength. When we, and again, understanding, we're not talking about happy. We're not talking about some kind of joyous thing that the world says where everything's just going wonderful and it's party time. The Bible says in everything to have joy. Look at life with joy. How can we have joy knowing that someone that we love so dearly is passed? We don't take joy in the circumstances. We take joy in the person. The Lord says, I encourage you. I want you, the Word says, to be joyful of knowing that I have everything under control. That the revelation and the understanding of who God is brings us the sense of stability, a sense of acknowledging that, Lord, what we see down here or what they see, it's not the final word and it's not the correct definition. One of the most fearful things to a human being, two things, standing in front of people and speaking, and secondly, dying. That is one of the greatest fears of mankind. Nobody wants to die. Nobody knows what dying is all about. Death, what's beyond the grave, if there is any grave or anything beyond it? And what it does, all it does is it conjures up all kinds of things. But one thing it does, one of the aspects of it is that there's a separation from loved ones or peoples or whatever it might, friends. Nobody wants to deal with the area of death because it's such an unknown, because it's such an end. It's such a finality. When you're dead, you're dead. What happens then? Well, we don't know. These people that come back from the dead and all that kind of, they saw a wonderful light and all that. You know, I have mixed emotions about that. Scripture says there are times where Paul saw into heaven and situations where that. So I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt that could happen. I'm not going to build any theology around it. But what happens in that process is that mankind looks at this incredible thing that we all must go through as something that we want to try everything we possibly can to prolong. But they don't act that way, do they? So many things in our lives expedite the process of our earliness in death. But everybody hates it. Everybody's afraid of it. When we talk about losing someone, a loved one, that we'll never see them again. Now, we here on the other side, as Christians, have a completely different understanding. And I may share some of these things coming up in a couple weeks when we have a bunch of visitors and many that perhaps Ann did not save. That lady, she was an evangelist like you never believe. You go into a restaurant, she's leading up the maitre d' or the waitress or whatever. Do you know Jesus? And I go, ugh. I'm a pastor. I felt uncomfortable. Everything was about Jesus. But when we understand this joyfulness that the Lord is saying for us to have, no matter what, that we have an advantage over the world because Jesus took the keys of what? Sin and death away from the enemy. We as Christians define death in a completely different way. It's not final. It's just the beginning. Paul writes, death, where is your sting? Where is this incredible sense of fear and blackness and emptiness and endness? Scripture says, you don't listen to them because they don't understand what it's all about. Do you think God would create you, the uniqueness that you are, and then have you die without anything happening? He's a good steward. He wants to take what he created and taught you and bring you to a place where we will live for eternity. And even though there is that momentary sadness, that momentary emptiness, what the Christian does is swings back. She swings back to the place of saying, wait a minute here, this is not the end. And Lord, if you felt that it was right to take Anne at this particular time, then you are God. I wouldn't want her to stay down here one moment more. I don't want my Pat to stay down one moment more than God wants for her. The joy is that it's not over. To be joyful in the midst of challenging times is to say, God, you have everything under control, and you will fulfill that area. And that's why Paul can say, and the Christian can say, No. I don't fear death. I know, first of all, God says, do not be afraid of anything, for I've not given that spirit of fear. The enemy has given a spirit of fear in death. God has given a spirit of life in death. And I'm going to be missing Anne for my gracious doing. This past week, found myself pushing her phone number over and over again. And then it would ring because it was on my desk. She was a part of our lives. She was a part of your life. Did God take that person away from us so that we would suffer? That we would feel bad? There's a time and a season for everything, a time to mourn. And I don't take that away because I miss her dearly. And my kids do, and my family do, and the grandkids do. She was a sweetheart, and I've known no person more loyal to our family than Anne. For 35 years, she stood with us through thick and thin, church splits, sicknesses, pregnancies, all kinds of things. She was there. How can I have joy in this? I don't have joy in the act. I have a joy in the person. And then I take away with that the joy that Anne feels. For every day, her greatest desire was to be with Jesus in heaven. She lived for that day. Lived for it. I've never seen a more devoted Christian who loved the Lord more than Anne. And you knew it. And sometimes when you wanted to be miserable, she wouldn't allow you to do it. She was a joyful Christian because the joy of the Lord was her strength. The joy in this particular situation, it says it means to be well. To stay calm, to stay composed, and to rest. Doesn't say anything about being ha-ha. It doesn't say anything about denying the emotional side. But we as Christians, and you've heard me teach this over and over again, that we are three-part beings, body, soul, and spirit. And the order is spirit, soul, and body, lining up like this. And when the soul, mind, will, and emotions are attacked in life because of the challenges of life, that is a legitimate human response. Sorrow, loss, confusion, doubt, all those things are human emotional attacks or processes. Certainly, most of it comes from the enemy, if not all of it. But what are we supposed to do in that process? Then the spirit man takes over. And the spirit man says, I miss this. I miss you, Ann. But I say this, that I know that absence from the body is in the presence of the Lord. I know that, God, you said that as we honor you, Jesus Christ is our Lord, we will be together for eternity. And this moment between our emptiness, our void, to the time we get to heaven is going to be like a batting of an eye. So what do we do during this time? You know what we do? It's we glorify God. We say, Lord, I believe you are who you say you are, even though right now it seems like we've got a void here. And we recognize, Lord, I'm going to take your definition of life and of death, and I will live for this time in between, to bring glory to you by my actions. Let me tell you something. I'm not impervious to emotional trauma. This week was very difficult for me and for my family. And I would go to bed at night and I said, this can't be. I never once said, God, why did you do this? I learned a long time ago. That's not a good statement. I've said, I don't understand why you did this. But I would never, and the reason why I'm speaking a little bit pointed here, you never allow the enemy, because he wants you to turn on God. It's God's fault that you feel the way you are. It's God's fault because he's the one that took your loved one. Our response is, Lord, I thank you that you know all things. You've heard me, and I'll probably use it again. If you could see me now, a poem. I wouldn't for a moment, not for a moment, want Anne to be back down here. See, memorial services are not for the people that have passed. They're for us. And as we honor him, and one of the things that we recognize is Anne is happy. She's joyful. She is, because she's done all of this, to be well, calm, composed, and rest as we deal with the challenges in her life. And the reward is there. Many of you know that she was an awesome artist. Her medium was watercolor. She's shown down in Carmel, on the big painting locations down. I helped set up her thing. And it was wonderful over the years. From what I understand, at the place where she's staying, she painted for a lot of the people. They would bring in pictures and, this is my dog. Would you turn this into whether oil or whatever it might be, watercolor? And they have a picture of her, of Anne, and they all brought their pictures and set them on the table around this picture of Anne that you will see. Kathleen wanted to blow up the picture that we have so we can show it on present it, or at least people can see it the 7th. And she went over to Kinko's to enlarge the the picture. And she said, this is for one of my friends, and she's passed away, and I'd like to whatever, and have it done, whatever. And they said, no problem, we will be able to take care of it. They went through the process, and they looked at the picture, and they said, this is Ann. This is Ann. She brought us gifts. We used to do all of our printing for our bulletins and everything else at Kinko's. This is Ann. She passed, and they just started crying. She's touched a lot of people. That's the way I want to be. I want us all to be. I don't know if I said that. I'm going to tell it anyway. I was at church, at the house on Friday when April came over to get some pictures for the things that we're going to show. And she brought the kids, and Lucas and Caden were there. And we had Annie's phone. And she's weird colors. Weird colors. The brighter, the better. She had this turquoise cover on her phone. And Lucas said, Annie's phone. And he walked up, went over and said, Annie, go night-night. Annie, go night-night. And I lost it. Annie, go night-night. We've had people say, when he heard, I think it was Joshua, who's going to be my teacher now? God will take care. How is it hard? How is it easy to be joyful in that? It is. Because God does all things well. How do we deal with the loss of a loved one, accidents in life, all these kinds of separations, financial situations? And I could go through many examples. How many know that you can be right in the will of God and not have everything and not have everything you want? Right in the will of God. How you know that you can be right in the will of God in going through difficult situations? And I've just given you some examples. When Abraham lost Sarah, or in the boat with Jesus in the storm, Jesus, you're right in the boat. We're about ready to die. There are times that the Lord, as you've heard me say over the years, that the Lord permits us to go through circumstances because he wants to teach us things. And many times, even like this, our being separated from Ann for a while, God, what is it? What is it that you would have me to learn about you in this situation? Because if there were not a redemptive factor, Ann would still be down here. What is it, Lord? All throughout, God doesn't harm us. He's incapable of doing that. Why doesn't he protect us against these kind of feelings? Because he wants us to understand that in our times of need, he releases special kind of grace to us. Amen. And he wants to reveal that grace to us. John 16:33 says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. We know that. What does that overcome the world mean? That means for every loss, for every dynamic, Satanish attack that the enemy has proposed or purposed for us in our lives. Jesus says, I have made a compensation for that to neutralize that attack on you. And we do not have to fall into that trap. For every time there is a demonic attack, God says, I have overcome that attack and I will have provision for you. I've overcome the world. And we know that God causes all circumstances to work together for good for those who love him and called according to his purpose. There's going to be much good in this. We go through the absence. It's natural. We loved her. There's people that are passing away today that I don't know. And even though as a human being, or maybe even say it as a pastor, I feel sorry for them. Certainly for the ones that are non-Christians. But that's life. How do we know that you loved Ann? Because you miss her. Some of us really loved her. And we really miss her. But God is going to turn this thing around. And I've watched him just literally launch ministries and things when that happens. He always turns things around. And he always does things for the good, for the better. Jesus on life. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's the psyche. That's the life that he comes to ruin the psyche. But he says, I have come that they may have life. That's Zoe. And have it to the full. Zoe life. Zoe, the definition. Jesus comes to mess with your mind and to destroy, to do everything he possibly can to interrupt any kind of Zoe life that the Lord offers us. Psyche, your mental understanding, your mental, your stance, he comes to rob that, to bring us to the place of insecurity, fear, and all the other things. Mourning may endure for a night, but what? Joy comes in the morning. It always will. It always will. That's God's way. But the enemy tries everything to mess with our mind. The word in the Greek for life, Jesus says, I've come that you may have Zoe. Zoe means fullness. It means victorious. I've come that you will have a victorious life, an abounding life, a dynamic life, a destiny. Called that you may have a destiny. I have come that you may live an abounding life. The devil's going to try to mess with your mind. And he's going to try to distract you to keep you from remembering what I said. But let me tell you something. If your spirit man kicks in where the enemy's trying to touch your soul, the psyche, God says, now, I want you to look at it from my perspective because I promise you I will turn this to the good. And I could go through, and I don't have the time to pick out a couple here, the times where that Zoe life, where Esther goes before the king. I taught a women's retreat on Esther, you know the story, and if you don't, look it up. She was a Jewess. They were about ready to destroy all the Jews, and the king, her husband, did not know that she was a Jew. So her uncle comes in and says, you got to do this, for you've been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. You don't mess with the king back in those days. All he had to do was bat their eye, and he would do it to his wife, too, chopped their heads off. She said, I have to get in to talk to the king. He invites her in. She was a beautiful lady. Long story short, she exposes the one that was the one that set up the whole thing to have the Jews wiped out in front of the king, so that the Haman, who was going to hang her uncle on this incredible scaffolding, he was the one that ended up being hung, and the Jews were not wiped out. That was an anointing, a life, a situation where she walked in, because what happens, that Zoe, it releases the anointing. Daniel in the lion's den, Peter in jail, Jesus on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's the life of God being manifested through the Christian. In 1 Thessalonians, they said, be joyful no matter what. Pray continually. Give all thanks and circumstances, for this is the will of God. This is the way God wants it for those who Jesus, saying in English, this is the way God wants those in Christ Jesus to deal with life. He wants us to deal with life from that joyful perspective of confidence that says, I know my God's got everything under control. And even though at this particular time I'd be walking through a shadow of death, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for what? You are with me. Yes, this is a time of sorrow, of loss. But I'm going to deal with it in life, this situation, the way, God, you want me to deal. I'm going to allow the perspective of your healing hand upon me and upon my loved ones to manifest itself, because this God, because man, you never chose man to die, but you've taken back the keys of sin and death. And where the enemy caused mankind to die, God says, you shall not die, because you will be with me for eternity. And I'm looking forward to seeing Anne and her spirit, but we will see her, as Scripture says, even as we were known. You're going to be able to walk up to Anne, and she's going to be even more beautiful than you can imagine, than she was. And I'll tell you, she was a knockout. She was Miss Pasadena in the Rose Bowl parade. She was gorgeous. You can't believe all the men I had to fight off from this lady. Go check to see my pastor first. Beautiful. This is the way God wants us to deal with life. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and I would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. All these are just inhibitors. You're in an inhibitor. It's a cracked clay pot made out of dirt. And all it's doing is slowing us down. Right? And we're going to be free from this. And the glorified body that we're going to have is going to be better than, ladies, than you can ever imagine. I don't care what spa you went to or hairdresser or whatever it might be. And you're going to get up in the morning and look that way. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And so, dear friends, while we are waiting for these things to happen, make every effort the reason why I'm stammering is that because I'm used to different translations. And my old translations wants to get into this, and this is a more modern translation. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay. And so, dear friends, while you are waiting for these things to happen, make every effort to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in His sight. Galatians 6, 9, and 10. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. The next I'm going to show you, when heaven invades life, what is our response to be? What I want us to leave with today is that God knew the exact number of days that He wanted Anne to be on earth. He knows it from the very beginning. I told you, He knows the end from the beginning. And you know what? I sort of came up with myself thinking through the process, because I'd like to be analytical. I believe that as we're following after the Lord, when we have come to the time where we've received the revelation that He has for us on earth, that He purposed for us on earth, when we reach that point, God says, now it's time to come up. You've learned what I want you to learn. You've experienced what I wanted you to experience. And now, because I have been longing for you all these years while you've been on earth, now come up and let's be together for eternity. Death, where is your sting? Anne, we'll miss you. We love you dearly. You loved us dearly. But I am so happy for you. I am so overjoyed. And I look forward to the time where we can be together again. And you can see Bryson. And you can see Adam. And you can see Caden and Aiden. And you can see Lucas. And you can see Javi. And you can see Juliet. Because where we've been touched by Jesus in you. And we look forward to that time. And we're coming soon. Amen. Bow with me. Father, thank you that death does not have any sting. Thank you for the revelation of how we are to envision life. Just wake up. That's an exclamation point. The animal, Shiloh is just giving me the amen. Yes. That we, Lord, have that confidence that you who have begun a good work in us shall complete it. And Lord, we know that you're about ready to add an Anne anointing to all of us, because the time is close, that you would plant within us, God, that incredible single-mindedness that says it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. That's our heart's cry. Now just take a moment right now and just speak to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, look up. He's a good, good father, isn't he? He's the best. And he has no greater love for Anne than he has for you. And day by day, step by step, he wants you, through the challenges, through the blessings, through just life, to experience that love personally, so that you can be like Anne. You can't help it, but give it away. Amen? Let's stand. Give the Lord a praise offering. Ladies, amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a praise offering. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen.
Father,
Good, good, good Father. Amen. Take your neighbor's hand. Thank you, Lord. You're a good, good Father. And Lord, I thank you for my brother and my sister on my right and left, those listening online. I thank you, Father, that we know in our heart that you're desiring to show that goodness. That goodness to them this week. And whatever void, whatever area of need that they need to have filled up, that your goodness will be, and it says, to overrun us and overflow. Thank you for the revelation, Lord, that we will be together all. And all those that we come in contact with, that you have us, give us the opportunity to bring the good news to, even this week. You'll be a part of that process. Let your neighbor's hand go. Lift your hands before the Lord. Father, I pray your blessings. I pray encouragement. I pray hope. I pray wisdom. I pray anointing. I pray healing. I pray confidence. I thank you that we receive that from you, Lord, because you are a good, good Father. Receive the benediction. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon you. Establish the work of your hands. Yes, establish the work of your hands. And we claim that together in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Let's give the Lord a praise offering. Amen. Turn around and give somebody a hug. God bless you. Have an awesome week. Amen. Great.
Thank you for listening to our Sunday sermon message. Pastor Babish is available for personal and family counseling. Please click the Counseling tab for more information. Again, we would like to invite you to attend our Sunday service or call our office if you have any questions. May the Lord richly bless you.